Thank you, Gordon. That's great. So, yeah, if you do have your Bibles, if you can turn to the book of Deuteronomy, please. It's right at the start of the Bible. It's part of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, written by Moses. So it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We're going to look at chapter 1. I like the diamond sword. Am I right? Is it a diamond sword? Yes. Come on. Fantastic. Minecraft. So I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 8. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Suf, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them. After he had killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who dwelt at Ashtoreth in Edrei. On this side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying, "The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, 'You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland, in the south and on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them.'" Hallelujah. So we're going to bring out a few points from there which apply to our situation. The first point is this. Yeah. Verse 6, you've got it in a nutshell, Carl. Verse 6, "You have dwelt long enough at this mountain." We've dwelt long enough at this mountain. We've had various places where we've stayed. First of all, when we first started the church plant up here, we met in the rugby club. And it was very kind of them because they gave us free rental, which was very nice. And that was a great blessing. However, it wasn't such a great blessing some Sundays when we'd have to come in and clear up bits of glass all over the floor. When you're trying to outreach to families with young children, sometimes there was vomit to clear up and other things as well. But I won't go into too many details. But it was a great blessing of the rugby club to open their doors to us and welcome us. And as I say, they gave us free rental, which was amazing. But that was for a season. And then we moved from there to Orchard Street up in the new community centre. And that was a great blessing. More space, a bit more freedom. But it was a little bit restrictive, wasn't it? Because we had a lovely big room. But for the Sunday school, if you remember, for those of you who were there, the Sunday school used to meet in the corridor. And as we started to grow, it was a little bit constrictive for the Sunday school. And there wasn't any room for the youth as well to meet separately. So that was great for a season, but in order to go to the next stage, we really felt God was saying, there's a new place for you, and it was here in the school. And this has been a great blessing as well. Every week meeting here, the space that we've got here is amazing. But, you know, it is an echoey hall, you know, and it's not our own place, so we can't do outreaches in the week, we can't invite people back. So there are limits according to this place as well. We've been going over to Mary. How many? 11 years exactly, is it? I don't know. Anyone got any ideas? It's about 5 years, is it? Yeah. About 5 years here. So we've been going 11 years. So we've been at various different places, and it's been a little bit like the Israelites moving from place to place, setting up camp. And who knows if this next move will be the last move. I happen to think that it's not going to be the last move, but we probably can't get our minds around that at this present minute, but we'll wait and see what God does. But it's going to be a great place for us as a church, because it's a venue where we can actually open it up in the week and reach out to the community. And more than that, we're not just doing it for us, we're actually opening up as a place for the community to use as well. So it's going to be a blessing not only to us, but to many, many people. And it's great that God's just opened things up in that way. So the word of the Lord, you've dwelt long enough at this mountain. Now sometimes we like, I don't know if you're a bit like me, you don't always like change, or you don't always adapt to change amazingly well. And there's been times in my life where I've wanted to stay where I'm presently at. I remember when I was a psychiatric nurse. Well, before I was a psychiatric nurse, I left home and went to stay in the nurse's home in Penavale Hospital in Abergavenny. And that was a big deal, because I didn't know how to cook. So I was pleading with my mum, show me how to cook, please. Oh, you'll pick it up. Don't worry about it. I was panicking. Because it was the new. It was going into something new. But I'd stayed at home long enough. It was time to leave home. And you always think, oh, how am I ever going to survive in this new place? You know, am I going to die? Die of hunger, you know, not knowing how to cook. And I remember the first meal that we did, we were cooking this meal, and this woman came into the kitchen and said, what are you doing? It was two blokes trying to cook and doing a very bad job. And she said, you've got to bring it to the boil first before you turn it down to simmer. So we were just simmering, thinking that was cooking. But it wasn't cooking anything. It was just warming it up, you know, raw meat. But you soon learn these little tricks of the trade. And then once I'd been there for quite a number of years, I got institutionalized. I was so used to living in the nurse's home, Penavale Hospital, that I couldn't envisage living anywhere else. And when I got married to Sarah, we went out on honeymoon. We came back. We arrived at the station of Abergavenny, and I said to her, Sarah, I'll drop you off if you want. And she said, what do you mean you'll drop me off? We're living... So that took some adapting, you know, married life and not living in the nurse's home anymore, but living in a flat, you know, living in a house. So it's all change. But just think about it. If we don't make these changes in our lives, we don't grow up. We don't progress to the next thing that God has given to us. And there's going to be changes, and some of the changes are going to be great, and we're going to love them. But some of the changes, they're going to be painful, because we get used to doing things a certain way. You know, we might be used to this hall and a certain chair we sit in or whatever. And then God brings a change, and things aren't as predictable. Things, you know, take time to plan out. Things might be a bit loose in some ways, and we're thinking, well, we don't know about this. And God, you know, God's just leading us, and we're feeling our way as he leads us. And it's the new. And the Christian life is a bit like that, really, when you think about it. Always leading to the next thing. And not going backwards to the past with rose-tinted spectacles, thinking, oh, if only we were back then. So God is doing something new, and it's wonderful. Let's embrace the new. And in verse 5, it says, Moses began to explain this law, saying, and that word for law is that word that the Jews use for the Old Testament, the Torah. So Moses began to explain this Torah, this law. And then he goes on to explain that it's all about the promised land. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about God's law, God's rules, God's Torah, I'm thinking about the Ten Commandments, you know, ways to live our life. I'm thinking about the 613 commandments, yeah, which there's lots of them in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And I'm thinking about morality, doing good and keeping away from evil. But here, God says that his law, he brings into his law the command to go in and possess the promised land. So that's a law, it's a commandment, it's Torah. God saying to his people, I don't want you just to live good lives. I don't want you just to stay here at Mount Sinai where I gave you the law. that's not your final destination. I've got something better for you. I've got a land for you to possess. And I think it's the same for us as Christians. God is giving us wonderful things, but we've got to go in and possess them. He's given us a great land. But if we just stay here worshiping all day, you know, he wants us to worship, yes, but he wants us to go in and take the land as well. And some Christians are very cozy. They love their time with the Lord, and they love Bible study. They love worship, and we should all love that. You know, it's all good, and we all need to do that. But also, we need to love the things that God wants us to do, the passion that he has for the lost, the passion that he has for us to go in and take the land. And as we move to this new phrase, it's going to be not just about us and about us and us worshiping God. It's going to be about that, yes, 100%. That's what we're about. It's in our genetics, and it's who we should be. It's all about the presence of God. But it's also all about reaching the nations, reaching this land, going in and possessing this area for God, telling people about Jesus, bringing the good news, and being good news to this community. So this is a chance for us to do all of that. If you look at verse 7, it says, go to the mountains of the Amorites. Do you know who the Amorites were? Well, they were a people group, and they didn't like the Jews. They didn't like Israel. They were against them. They were their enemies. So God is saying there, go in and take your enemies, fight your enemies. And as we move forwards in the things of God, Satan doesn't like what God's doing. He's going to try everything he can do to discourage us, to try and upset us, to cause disunity, to cause angst within the church, to just make us lose hope, to depress us, to distract us. Whatever he can do to isolate us and to stop us from moving into the purposes of God, he'll try and do. And we need to be aware of that. Not overly aware of it so that we're focusing on that. That's not our area of focus. But we are in a battle, and he's calling us to press forwards. And sometimes it's going to be pleasant, but sometimes it's going to be hard work. And he's causing us to break through into those difficult things and to be people who persevere until we see God releasing this area as a possession, as our treasured possession. Well, we're his treasured possession, but he gives us wonderful things as his children. So go in and possess. Verse 8 it says, go in and possess the land. I don't know if you've ever seen any of those YouTube videos where people have got money all over them and they're going around and they're just saying, free money. And they're offering people free money out on the streets. And some people are like, yeah, free money, yeah, and they're taking it. And other people don't take it because they think, no, there's a catch. They just can't believe it's free. And it is free. If they took it, they could have it. But they don't feel that they can take it. And God can offer us a gift, but it's up to us to actually possess that gift, to actually take that gift, to receive it. So here God is commanding. He's saying there's a wonderful land here for you to possess. Now go in and possess it. So it's going to take activity on our part. We're going to be doing things maybe that we'd never done before. Well, I'm sure that we've never done before. I'm just thinking about some of the things we've got planned. Food bank. That's new to us. We've never run a food bank before. We may have gone along and visited food banks or helped out, but we've never actually orchestrated and run one before. It's a new area for us. And as we go into the new, it can be a little bit fearful. We're thinking, ooh, how's this going to work out? But let me just tell you this. God is with us. He's going to enable us to do these things. Let's be flexible in his hands, and let's give ourselves to his service, to his work. I'm thinking about some of the other things that we're going to be doing. Job club. That's, again, another new area. CAP money course. We've done it before in the past, but we've done it in a small context within a church context. This is going to be more reaching out to those who don't know the Lord and giving them opportunities to learn how to manage their finances. So it's a lot more engaging with the community. And I just want us to think about what Jesus did. Jesus didn't stand at a distance and just try and sort out our problems from a distance. No, he actually came to this earth. He became a person. He dwelt amongst us. He was incarnated. And in the same way as Jesus getting his hands dirty and being amongst people in order to rescue them, so we need to get our hands dirty. We need to go in and possess the land. And that means rolling up our sleeves. It means getting to know people that maybe we wouldn't have got to know before. It means engaging. It means being incarnational, seeing people face to face, being relational, being welcoming, making table a place where people feel welcome when they come in. So it's a challenge to each one of us to be engaging, to go beyond maybe what we would normally do. I'm just thinking about the turning and the outreach that we've recently had where we've gone out on the streets. And it was difficult because I'm not a natural person for going up to a stranger and just chatting to them. And that's what you do with the turning. You basically go up and you introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Stuart. What's your name? I'm thinking, oh, I'm not comfortable with this. But as you just make that step and get out of the boat and step out to walk on water, God is with you and things happen. And we saw an amazing response out on the streets, the favor of God. But it did mean that we had to make that first step and to do things maybe we weren't naturally comfortable with. And when I think about this new phase in our life as a church, I think God is going to be stretching each one of us to step into new roles, to try out new things that we've never done before, and to be relational at a level that we've never done in the past. It's a stretching thing. And as we do that, God's grace is going to come, and we're going to see amazing things happening. So then the last thing I want to say is in verse 8. It says this, "See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land," and here's the key thing, "which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them." God is a God who keeps his promises, and he promised many, many years ago to Abraham to give him this land, the land of Israel, and he hadn't forgotten that. Even though this was many generations later, God still had remembered. He's got a long memory. And in the same way, he wants to give us good gifts as his children. He wants to give us the nations. He's basically said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." And I see it as God opening the way all across the world for his church to go in and take territory. But it's not really according to our ability. It's really according to the gift of God. He's gifted us with the good news. That's the grace of God. For us to actually know the gospel, how to get to heaven. What a gift. We couldn't have got there on our own. We couldn't have made it to heaven. But Jesus did everything necessary and he gave it to us as a free gift. And in the same way, he's enabled us to go out with the good news. And he will open up the way before us. He'll do things that we couldn't do. As we pray to him, as we believe God for more, so he will open the floodgates. And we're going to see more and more people, I believe, coming to know the Lord. We're going to see more salvations. We're going to see more people being discipled. Are you ready for that? Are you excited about that? Because it's something new that God is bringing us into. And I do believe we're going to see growth. But it's going to come with hard work, but it's not all down to our hard work, is what I'm trying to say. It's down to the grace of God. Same as we went out on the streets, okay, we worked hard, but all across Wales, it was the grace of God in response to people going out. So it's, if you like, it's a partnership. It's us working with the Spirit of God, and as we step out in faith, in obedience, so the Spirit of God moves and new things happen. Wonderful things. We're going to end up with testimonies from people that we never even dreamed would have even thought about becoming Christians. They probably never would have dreamt that they would have ever thought about becoming Christians. Healings. People whose lives have been healed, who have been physically healed. We've seen an increase in healings. It's been wonderful to see. And I think as we step out in faith and obedience to God, so he's going to bring about the increase. So that the last point is this, it's all about his grace. Let's never forget that in our walk with God. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the grace of God. We've been singing about the grace of God and all that he's done. It's all about his glory shining all around the world. the whole earth is full of his glory. We see that displayed in creation, but we also see it in the good news of Jesus. And we're going to be bringing that good news. Let's never forget, it's not about works. It's about grace. It's about what he does. We have to work hard, yes. It's a partnership. But at the end of the day, it's all about his grace. Let's expect, as we move into this new phase, let's expect the grace of God. Let's tell people about the grace of God. People who never even heard about the goodness of our God. Let's make them aware of all that God's done. And let's see some amazing things happening. As we start to realize God's grace, the response will be worship. We've seen that this morning. We've had a lovely time of worship, thanking the Lord. As we become more and more aware of his grace, we'll worship more. We'll thank him more. We'll have a reliance on prayer. You know, if we know that it's all according to God's grace, that really we cannot be fruitful in and of ourselves, it's only in him that we're fruitful. Apart from him, we can do nothing. As we realize that more and more, then we'll be committed to prayer and to seeing God's will come into to earth as in heaven. We'll also be people who trust as we realize how great the grace of God is. When we go into those new situations, we won't be panicking like the children of Israel when they came into that promised land. You know, it started off saying that it should have only been 11 days' journey from Mount Sinai to the place where they went in to spy out the land. 11 days. And it turned out to be 40 years. I wonder how many opportunities the Lord brings our way. And we mess it up because we don't realize just how great the grace of God is. And we panic. We think, oh, I'm on my own. Oh, I've got to go into this situation on my own. And actually, it's a window of opportunity that the Lord's bringing to us. And as we realize, it's all about his goodness, his grace. And he won't leave us. He won't desert us in those situations. He'll open up a way for us to get through difficult things in our lives, but also to see the gospel impact in other people's lives. So those are the three things I wanted to bring out. So I've brought out 3 points. You've stayed at this place long enough, Mount Sinai. So move on. Going in and possess the land. We need to be active. And the last thing is receive God's grace. As we are aware of his grace, we're going to see amazing things. Let's pray, shall we? Let's all stand together. Maybe we can just pray for one another for this new phase. If you just want to put a hand on someone's shoulder next to you, let's pray that God would strengthen us for all that's ahead. Father, I want to thank you for everyone that's here today, Father. Thank you for those who aren't here as well, Lord, that are very much part of our family, and we're thinking about them as well. Lord, unify us as your church here, Lord, as Valley's family church in this region. Unify us together as we look to what you've got ahead, Lord. We thank you for your amazing grace. We celebrate your grace, not only in the gospel, not only in forgiving our sins and in creation, but Lord, also the gifts that you give to us. We're amazed that we've actually managed to get this funding, but not only that, Lord, that the building phase, now I know there's a few more things to do, but Lord, thank you that the big part of it has been completed. We praise your name. Lord, prepare us for what's ahead. Strengthen each one of us, Lord. Strengthen these arms, Lord. And Lord, give us a fresh revelation of what you've got for each one of us. Let us be used to bring many souls into your kingdom, Lord, and to bless many lives. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the people said, Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's go out and possess the